Boy, he makes me sound old. The greatest gift that Indiana Wesleyan ever gave away was this person when they sent him off to your institution. You are so fortunate to have him as a member of your faculty and working here at the school. Oh, no. The what? I'm sorry. Hey, oh my goodness. Is that you, God? Are you calling me, God? What's up? I'm in chapel. God. You want me to change my major? You want me a lawyer? I thought it was athletic training, God. Political science? I don't like political science. Oh, God. Oh, well, okay, I'll work on that. Sharon? You mean Sharon and Glide Crawford? That one? She's awesome. Have you told her? I don't want to be the first one to tell her that that this is your decision, God. I don't know. Oh, God, and while I got you, one more. God? Are you, God? Don't you wish it would be that easy? Don't you just wish it would be that easy? I mean, this is a God of technology. He knows technology. Why doesn't he use iPhones these days? It would just be so much easier if it did that. You could ask God, what should my major be? Who should I marry? What kind of career should I take? And he just would answer. He would answer you. It isn't that easy. For all the talk that we Christians make about this idea that God calls one, there's a lot of questions and a lot of confusion about what it means. You know, we talk quite freely in this secular society about people having a vocation. Vocation is a word from the Latin, vocare, which means to call. And we use the word vocation to talk about people's occupations or careers without any reference to where that call might come from. We use the word, but it seems to have lost its meaning someplace in there. What is this connection between vocation and God, particularly God's calling in my life? I have questions about the call, about my call. I went to college, like you, a number of years ago, planning to be a doctor. Pre-med. I was taking pre-med courses in my freshman year. In my sophomore year, I ended up in a little prayer chapel on campus in an afternoon all by myself, reading in the book of Jeremiah. I don't know what I was reading. I tried to find the verses, and I still can't find what verses I was reading, but reading those verses that afternoon, I sensed deep within me that God wanted me to head in a different direction in my life. He wanted me to be in pastoral ministry. So later that afternoon, I went over and talked to my advisor and changed my major and started my course towards Christian calling. I let my parents know, and they were elated. You see, a number of years ago, their eldest son was killed in an automobile accident. And even though he was only 11, my brother Jimmy had already announced publicly that he thought that God wanted him to be a pastor, like his dad, my father. I have vivid memories of the funeral still, with my father weeping and asking rhetorically, why would God have taken my son, my eldest son, who was called to the ministry at such a young age? Why would God have done that to me? And so I moved forward. They were elated. Isn't this wonderful that having lost a son who was called to the ministry, God had now called another son, the second oldest son, to be in the ministry so that he could follow his brother and his dad? It was a wonderful experience. And I finished my courses at Houghton and then ended up across the street in a classroom on the other side of Lexington in a psychology course. And I learned about something called survivor guilt. That feeling you have that, why wasn't it me? You see, just a few minutes before my brother was struck and killed walking along the side of the highway, I had walked that same path. A few minutes later, it might have been me. Why would God take one person who was called to the ministry and allow this person who was thinking he wanted to be a doctor to remain here on earth? And then we talked about birth order. We talked about how oldest sons quite often develop an attachment to their fathers. They aspire to be like dad, and they quite often follow in the career. And here I was, number two son, who suddenly became oldest son, who had made a decision in a little prayer chapel to follow in my father's footsteps. And all kinds of questions began to swirl through my mind. Was this really God that had called me? Or was I listening to other voices? Were there other voices that played into this whole thing? Now let me tell you, I am delighted that God has given me the privilege for all of these years to be in Christian ministry. I believe God had something to do with that. I have no regrets, but it leaves me with this gnawing question about call and how it fits together. There are testimonies of wonderful Christians, not just pastors, but nurses, doctors, other people who talk about how God has called them. But especially pastors, right, Chris? Pastors always have a call. They always are able to stand up and ask that committee that's talking to them about ordination, "This is how I got called." In fact, in evangelical circles, if one does not have this essential call, the likelihoods are that you would be in trouble. No call, no ordination. It works close to that for missionaries, as I figured it out. Most missionaries need to be able to say, "This is when God called me to be a missionary." And then it gets a little more diffuse when you get down to people like teachers and social workers and lawyers. Some of them are called. Some of them don't have that sense. My wife, Carol, longtime nurse, wonderful nurse, she would say that she never sensed a calling in her life to be a nurse. She loved science, she loved helping people, and she's been a nurse all of her life, but probably didn't have that call that some people talk about all the time. So some questions begin to surface. Does God call a person to a particular career? Does that plan that God has, that you and I should be knowing what our career is, probably sometime during our high school or college years, that God will tell us what we're going to be doing for the rest of our life? And that other question, that question about vocation, does everyone need a calling, a vocation? What does it look like? What is what I do to earn a living really what the Bible is talking about when it says vocation? Well, fortunately, a few years ago, I was given some time and grant money to explore this. And the first thing, of course, I did is I went to the Bible. I went to the Bible asking this question: do persons in the Bible receive a call that directs them into careers the way we do today? Does God call a person to a particular career? I'd heard plenty of sermons that said he did. There's sermons about Moses at the burning bush. God called him. There's Isaiah in the temple. There's Deborah, the warrior judge. There's Paul, Damascus Road. But did God talk to Moses at the burning bush and say, "I want you to take business administration because I want you to be a CEO of a big corporation, my people"? Did God tell Deborah that she needed to go to a military academy and work her way up through the ranks until she became a general because he wanted her to be a general? I can't find it. I can't find it in the text. Isaiah, did God say, "You'd make a good public speaker. Take a major in public speaking"? Paul on the Damascus Road. Even the disciples. Did the disciples get a call to Christian ministries? I think not. When I read the story of Moses, I find God saying, Moses, I want you to lead my people out of Israel. To Deborah, he said, I want you to go and fight the Philistines. To Isaiah, he said, prophesy, thus saith the Lord. To Paul, he said, I want you to be my messenger, an apostle, one who takes messages. And to the disciples, he just simply said, come, follow me. And then at the end of 3 years, he said, go and make disciples. It seems that God found people with strengths and in some cases weaknesses. Moses stuttered. Paul had a pretty dismal record of hurting people. God picked people that had both strengths and weaknesses, and he used their strengths and he overcame their weaknesses in order to give them a task to do. God more likely calls people to task that they have to commit, that they have to accomplish, than he calls them to careers. And that's very important, I think, for you to understand at this particular point. God is still operating that way. If you are a follower of Jesus, count on it. Sometime, before too long, God is going to give you a task to do. He's going to say, this is what I want you to do. This is not the career I necessarily want you to follow, although they may be connected. But he's going to give you a task that he wants you to do. Some of these tasks you'll be able to accomplish in a week or two, short-term mission trip. Go do, speak to somebody. Some of the tasks that he gives you to do may take years, may take a lifetime to do. But God usually calls individuals to task, not to lifelong careers. But there's something more that we need to realize. There is significant amount of verses, passages in the Bible that talk about God's calling. And I've read through these, and I think I can cluster them into three groups. Three groups. The first thing that God does is he's going to call people to salvation. Duh, you say. Come on, bud. Everybody knows that. This is Asbury. You don't have to spend... I won't spend a long time on this other than to say that is probably the primary call in all of Scriptures. Come. Let us reason together, though your sins be blood red, they can be as white as snow. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come. God calls us, and it's important for us just to stop and think about that for a minute, because as much as you want to say, I've decided to follow Jesus, I have decided to follow, long before you decided, God was calling you already. He was calling you before the foundations of the earth. He calls us to this wonderful experience of a relationship with him. He calls us, secondly, to holiness. It's not enough to get a ticket to heaven. God, throughout the Scriptures, calls us to live a transformed life. He calls us to move forward and in his way and be transformed. Yesterday, I stopped in the hallway and one of your alumna stopped and said, I want to pray for you, bud. She said, you're going to Hughes Auditorium. And as she prayed in the middle of her prayer, she mentioned that sign that would be up behind me, that this is a place where holiness, this living a Christ-like life, is a very important call. And there's a third call, of course. The third call throughout the Scriptures is to service. We should love God, but we should also love our neighbors as ourselves. God calls us to find ways, either through an occupation. You nurses and you social workers in some areas, you find it probably easy to find that service within the career that you will have. Some of you that are in IT, technology, or athletic training may find it a little harder to find how you serve each other. Some of us serve God in our careers. Others of us will earn a living with a good job, and we will find ways to serve people out around the circles of what we actually do when we get our paycheck. There it is. That, in my opinion, is the ultimate call of God, the call to salvation, holiness, and service. And so we might pause and look at one passage of Scripture, a place where you might at first think that God is calling people to occupations. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's put it up there on the screen. It was Christ who gave, notice that, it was Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastor teachers. Paul had a perfect opportunity here to use the word call, and he doesn't use it there. He seems to say that there are people who have gifts, either natural abilities or gifts that come from God, and these people God has given the privilege, the honor, to serve in these particular capacities. But they're all kind of clergy things, aren't they? They're all kind of ministry things. But if you read Ephesians chapter 4, the whole chapter, you come right to the first verse, and Paul does specifically talk about calling. Let's put that verse up there. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And Paul is not in that verse talking about pastors, teachers, and evangelists alone. He's talking about shopkeepers. He's talking about farmers. He's talking about slaves. He's talking about everyone in the church at Ephesus who is a believer and says, you have a calling. You have a wonderful calling to salvation, to service, to holiness. That's what I would hope that you would focus on in your life. If you keep that calling, students, you're not going to have any problem getting the well-done sticker when you get to the end of life. It'll be there for you. So my life calling, my vocation, is not only to service, to salvation, holiness, and service, but it is also to discover and respond to God's guiding in my life. Because by now I think you're frustrated. You're saying, good grief, bud, get to some detail. That's nice about all that stuff you've been saying. I want to know what major to take. I've got to register for courses in the next few days, and I don't have a clue as to what I'm supposed to be doing this fall. Can God help me there? Well, he's not going to call you, but he might guide you. He might be guiding you. I think that we would do better as Christians to start with that basic call and then discover what it means for God to guide us. How does God guide us? He guides us, first of all, with circumstances. The things that happen in your life, things that have happened, and let me tell you, things that will happen. These things that are sometimes very much structured and organized and planned, and then there's the spontaneous things that don't have any planning to them at all. All of these things, Paul tells us, all circumstances work together for good. Can you finish the verse? To those who are called. To those that are called, circumstances, good ones, bad ones, work together. In my life, happened quite a few years ago. It happened in O'Hare National. That one is not supposed to be ringing. It's probably my attorney. I don't know what it is. Or it's one of you saying, cut it short, bud, would you please? How does God guide us through these circumstances? I was telling you, I was in the Chicago airport changing planes, walking down one of those long runways, and I bumped into a friend of mine I hadn't seen in probably 15 years. We got into a quick conversation. I told him what I was out job looking, and he says, have you ever considered this? And I said, never heard about it. And he said, no, there's an opening. Why don't you consider this option? I did. And I took it. I took that particular option. And for 35 years, my life has been shaped by a decision I made in the middle of O'Hare Airport. I think it was a God thing. I don't think it was just a happenstance that I bumped into that person 5 seconds either way and we never would have seen each other. But God used that circumstance to shape my entire life, and he'll do the same for you. Your family, the family you've been raised in, a teacher that has impacted you, a short-term missionary trip you take, your successes, and get this, even some of your failures. All of those things will meld together. Those circumstances, God will use those to kind of steer you in a direction in your life. He also uses instruction. He uses the instruction from his word. You're not going to find your major in here. I'll warn you. You're probably not going to find your wife's name unless it's Sarah or something like that. But if you make this a regular part of your life, read it. The sermons that are preached here in chapel and in other places. If you listen to people teaching the word, if you get into a Bible study with other people, if you spend time alone and journal what you're learning from God's word, it may not tell you what your career is, but it will shape the boundaries of your life, and it'll keep you in a channel. It'll keep you from wandering off and skidding into the ditch someplace. God uses instruction to guide us. He uses wisdom, the wise counsel of other people. Listen to your parents. Don't let them tell you what to do, but listen to them. Listen to them. Listen to your professors. Look at your GPA. Look at the courses you do well in. There's any number of ways that you can use people in your life that are around you, older people maybe that have walked a little longer. If you're married, and some of you are, be sure to talk to your spouse. It's amazing when husband, wife work together. The path of life becomes pretty awesome when you're doing this together rather than going someplace and saying, I've got to listen to God all by myself. No, don't try to listen just to God. Get the wise counsel of others. If you're facing an issue in your life, a problem, find some good books. Read the great saints of the past. Read the practical people that have worked through the problems you have in your life. Find ways to use wisdom. And finally, I believe that there is an inner sense of God's Spirit. God's Spirit does speak to us. There are moments in your life where you will just stop and realize, I think this is God speaking. Yeah, there'll be other voices. You'll have to filter out some of the other voices. But you will know. You will know at some points in your life that this is what God wants me to do. My life verse that I picked up when I was in college. And your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. It won't necessarily be a light out in front of you saying, here, come here, this is what I want you to do. Sometimes you'll just have to walk. And as you're walking and following, the Spirit will whisper in your ear, this is it. This is right. Or the Spirit may say, let's try something else. Listen to that inner spirit of the voice. You see, when I was a collegian, or young, the same thing, I kind of viewed life as a maze, as a Christian. You come in at the top and you exit at the bottom, and there's a right path that you need to follow. There's only one way to get through this, and heaven help you if you screw up. You're going to end up in some dead end someplace, or you're going to get helplessly lost. And so I kept wanting to stop and say, okay, God, got to figure this one out. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Which way do I go? That story in the airport? Turned out I got two contracts there, two places that said, do you want to come here? And I prayed and I said, God, which one? And he didn't say anything. So I got my Bible out and I looked in the back in the concordance. I looked up Illinois and I looked up Indiana. And you can't find Illinois and Indiana in here. That didn't help me very much. So I put out some tests, you know, like Jason or Gideon's fleece. Yeah. Okay, God, if it snows tomorrow morning, I'll go to Indiana. And if it sleets tomorrow morning, I'll go to Illinois. And it didn't do either. So finally, after several days of agony, I put both of the contracts. I was a pastor then. I was not a pastor then. I was a teacher. But I took the two contracts and I went to a prayer chapel and I just put them down and I prayed and I said, God, I don't know what to do here. And you're not coming through very clear on this one. I'm going to go the Indiana choice. And if I'm wrong, God, please, please change my mind. Do something. Bring something into my life that will change. signed the contract, ended up at Indiana. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. But you know what I wonder, Chris, is what if I had signed the Illinois one? I have a sneaking suspicion my life would have been very, very different. But as long as I was faithful to that calling of salvation, holiness, and service, I think God could have just as easily used that one in my life. Don't get bent out of shape thinking, I got to get it all right now. And God's got to make it all clear. I've come to the conclusion, let's throw the other picture up. This is how I look at my life now. It's a ski slope. You're up at the top. There's a lot of ways to get to the bottom. They all end up at the same spot, down there at the lodge where there's a nice jacuzzi and a nice place to get warm. There's dozens of ways that you might go down, and you can have choices in your life. There's the black diamond. Any of you ski? And even know what a black diamond is? That's the one that goes straight down the hill. You go just 60 miles an hour, and a lot of risk, a lot of excitement, a lot of thrills. And then there's bunny slopes, the little ones where you can kind of push your way along slowly with your ski poles and enjoy the scenery. And it's even designed so that if you can get halfway down the hill, you might even switch. God is an incredible God of variety and flexibility. If we are faithful to his calling of salvation, holiness, and service, some of you will change your majors. Some of you who might even have come here thinking you were called to one major may end up changing your major even in the next few years. Some of you will graduate from Asbury and decide 6 months later, that was a bad choice. The university that I have been working at has two programs specifically designed for people who have a diploma and then look at it and say, this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing, so you can come back and get a quick trip into another direction, another vocation, another calling in your life. While it used to be in past times that once you developed an occupation, if you were a butcher or a farmer or a blacksmith, that's what you did for your whole life. Many of you in this room will change your career at least once. Some of you will change your career two or three times. Some of you will retire and then decide you'll start all over again with a new occupation when you're 65 and do something else for the rest of your life. That's okay. As long as you are open in your life to this sense of God guiding me and are faithful to the call that he has in your life. Don't worry. What you need to do is just ask these questions. Let's go back over them kind of quickly. When you're facing life's big question, the first question you should always ask is, does what I want to do, does it line up with God's word? Can I find something in the teachings of the scriptures that would suggest that one of these paths is the right path and the other is the wrong path? In that case, take the right path. The next thing that you might do is just use good common sense reason and say, what makes sense? If you're failing courses in biology and chemistry, maybe medicine is not the field that you want to go into. Take those inventories that talk about your giftedness, those inventories that talk about your aptitudes. Find ways that you can sort out for yourself what would make sense in my life. The next thing you need to do, of course, is ask, what would people who I trust are saying? What would the people I trust most, especially those who are fellow believers like I am, what counsel and guidance might they give me in a situation? And then finally, what do I sense that God's quiet whisper spirit is saying in my life? If you're sitting in this room struggling with your major, it's okay. If you can answer those questions, if you follow this pattern, I think you'll discover that God will guide you. He may not make it specifically clear because I'm not sure the issue is career. I'm not sure the issue is your job or where you do it. The issue is really, am I faithful to that call of God in my life? So let's just wrap it up with a scheme. Up in the corner is God's call, salvation, holiness, service. There's God's guiding, guiding me through circumstances, guiding me with instruction from His Word, guiding me with His Holy Spirit. And then He gives me an incredible amount of personal freedom. And with freedom, of course, comes responsibility. But you will have to live with the consequences of decisions you made. But don't be panicking if the decision it didn't turn out the way you wanted to do. Ask God to help you get you guided and moving again. I want to close by just making the comment that I do believe that there are people who have specific calls. Some of you in this room would want to meet me up here afterwards and say, but Bud, I was called to be a teacher. Bless you. I think that God does do that. John Wesley had this problem with lay people who wanted to preach. And in England at that particular time, you couldn't preach unless you'd gone through Oxford, Cambridge, gone all the way up through the ranks and were ordained. And finally, there were women who were beginning to share the gospel like John Wesley's mother had done to him. And they seemed to be gifted in these areas. And so finally, John Wesley said, I think there is an extraordinary call that comes. You don't always have to follow the channels. I think sometimes God, in a very special way, calls people. And if you've been called, bless you. Go with it. But keep your hands loose. God may change. I was called to be a pastor. When I announced to my parents that I was going to become a college professor, they were kind of disappointed. Why would you give up being a pastor to go teach at a college? My mother, bless her soul, passed away still wondering whether I had left the ministry because I became a teacher in the religion department. She always thought it wasn't what God called you to do. God's creative. He's flexible. Keep a loose hand. Some of you in 20 years will be coming back and will say, you're doing what? That's not what you were in class with me. What are you? You're saying, God guided me. God guided me. Not to worry. Go with God. Have a great ride down the slopes. Let's pray. You called us, God. That's the most awesome thing. That out beyond the galaxies, or maybe in the middle of the galaxies, somewhere out there is a divine being, a divine person, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and He has called us. He's called us to Himself. He's called us to this life of Christ-likeness and service. And we're brave enough to believe that You guide us, God. Maybe not as clearly as we would like, but certainly in sufficient ways that we can be faithful to Your call when we are obedient. Thank You for that. We take as our promise those wonderful words from the book of Thessalonians, faithful is He who has called you, and He will make it happen. Amen.